Drainsville is between the Neversink Reservoir and Rondout Reservoir. Rondout Reservoir is a little less than a mile from here.
I want to kind of cut to the chase with the Delaware Aqueduct. When did the DEP become aware that it was leaking?
Back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, there was a discovery, a report of water in a location near where the Delaware Aqueduct crosses the Hudson River, near the Roseden Power Plant, which was owned by Central Hudson at the time. That's where water was first found to be leaking from the tunnel. There was an investigation, and water was positively identified at that location as coming from the Delaware Aqueduct.
And has that situation worsened? I mean, I was down there a couple days ago, and it seems like there's quite a bit of water rushing out a little channel there. Has that situation worsened since then?
We've been monitoring the tunnel since the early 1990s. We've conducted color velocity tests to identify how much water is passing through the tunnel and to determine the leakage rate out of the tunnel. And what we found over the years we've been monitoring it is that the leakage rate has not changed over the period of time. It still leaks out between 14 and 35 to 36 million gallons a day out of the tunnel. The high range only occurs when we operate at the very highest flows out of the tunnel. And we've put procedures in to reduce the amount of time that we operate in that high range, to reduce the amount of water that leaks out of the tunnel. So although the conditions existed for quite a while, the good thing is it's not changed. The leakage has not changed since we've been monitoring it.
What about the situation in Warsing? I mean, we spoke with some people there who say that they're having major problems, basement flooding and things like that, and showed us documents that the DEP has generated saying, like, this is our water that's coming up here.
The Warsing, the area of Warsing, the problems they're having down there, back in the early 1990s, when we found the problem at Roseden, a little bit later, there was a report of water in the Warsing area, and that there had been a change in water conditions at one of the residents that happened to coincide with some tunnel operations that had been going on in the Rondout West Branch Tunnel. DEP investigated that and observed that location for quite a while. Water samples at Roseden, one thing that was done by DEP at the time that positively identified water is coming from the tunnels, we used to periodically treat the water with copper sulfate to control algae. We no longer do that, but we were treating Rondout water at the time with copper sulfate, and we tested down at Roseden, and we detected some of that, the presence of that in Roseden. So that positively tied water at Roseden with our tunnel. At Warsing, we did not do the same thing. And we did observe that area for quite a while, and we suspected that there may be an influence of our tunnel on the situation of Warsing. We monitored the properties in that area for several years, observing conditions of water in the area. And we also, after we had hired a consultant to come on board to help us to understand the situation in the tunnel and steps we would need to take to correct leakage, we identified several springs in the Warsing area in the mid-1990s, and we monitored, we picked up these springs by doing overflights of the route of the tunnel from West Branch Reservoir to Rondout Reservoir, and we found areas where the water in these infrared photography was cooler than would be expected. And some of these areas were near Warsing. We monitored these springs where this abnormal temperature water was reaching the surface, and we conducted a dye test. During the course of that dye test, we recovered dye in two of three springs that we were monitoring in the Warsing area in the mid-1990s. We had been also monitoring homeowner properties in the area until about that same time, and eventually we stopped monitoring those locations. One of the homeowners asked us not to come back to the location. And we had not heard anything from the residents in that area from the mid-1990s or early 1990s until last March, when we had shut down the tunnel for a period of time to do some maintenance work. So we knew positively that water from our tunnel, at least some portion, was reaching the surface at Worsing in the mid-1990s. We had not received any complaints from residents in the area since the mid-1990s. And we monitored that area as in the area through Worsing, which some of the properties were adjacent to Route 209. And DEP has an office in Kingston, so that's a heavily traveled route. There used to be a period of time when water was constantly flowing into a ditch at that location. During the early mid-1990 period, that expression was no longer there, and it was possible that the water conditions were no longer affecting residents, or there was a concern in that area.
Well, let me kind of cut to the chase on this. Are you saying that DEP is not responsible for the problems that those folks along Route 209 are having, or are you saying you just don't know?
I'm saying we don't know the degree that our water is influencing the problems that the residents are experiencing. We're in the process of conducting a study with the United States Geological Survey to determine the impacts, what the impacts are of water that leaves the Delaware Aqueduct in the Worsing area, what the contribution of that is to problems that homeowners and that area is experiencing with regards to water. I mean, there are other issues and other problems that occur in that valley that are related certainly to snowmelt, poor drainage conditions, and we do have a tunnel that leaks about 400 feet below the surface of that location that may have impacts. We know definitely at least some water reaches the surface. The degree to which that water impacts the residents, to find that out, to do it the proper way is to do it scientifically, and the USGS has a tremendous reputation for doing independent work. We've set up a committee that includes members of the community and the local governments to help govern this study, so we expect when that is completed, we'll have a good idea of what impacts the leakage of the tunnel has in the Worsing area.
So what's the distinction between that location and the Roaston location? There's some anger in Worsing where people are saying, look, we're homeowners. Our homes are at risk here. There's nothing within a quarter mile of that location in Roaston other than a power plant. Nobody lives there, and yet DEP has done all this work down there. How would you address that when those people say something like that?
It's a function a lot of the geology. When the tunnel was constructed, there were two spots where the tunnel went through limestone rock, limestone formations. One was in Worsing, and one was in Roaston. In Roaston, the rock goes all the way up to the surface, so areas that we've had surface expressions of water there are defined, clear areas. In the Worsing area, where it crosses the Rondout Valley, the bedrock there is overlaid by about 200 feet of glacial till, sand, gravel, boulders. So when water leaves the bedrock formation into that sand and till and move to different locations, and it's not as defined areas as we have in Roaston.
So let me see if I got this right, because my wife and I took an old bathtub out of our house and put it in our backyard in Brooklyn, and we use it as a planter box, basically, and we put rocks and sand and then soil in it. So that's kind of like what the Rondout Valley is like. It's full of stuff like that, so you don't know what's where.
That's right. So water that is leaving the tunnel can get into that. It can move to different locations. Defining it, it's not as clear as it is over in Roaston. And the department has spent a tremendous amount of time and resources in understanding that leak in Roaston and developing methods to correct that leak. And we have not had the same level of focus on the Worsing area, but now we are focusing on Worsing to make sure we understand that problem, and that's included in plans that we would have to repair the tunnel.
Now, let me ask from the standpoint of somebody who is one of those 8 million or more people who uses water that comes out of that tunnel. Is there a reason for New Yorkers to worry? I mean, we hear this, you know, it's like, you know, God, you know, I read these articles and says, oh, if they shut the tunnel down, the tunnel might just collapse. This supplies 50% of New York City's drinking water. Is there a risk of a calamitous, a catastrophic failure of this tunnel?
I mean, the tunnel's been providing water to the people of New York New York City and half the state's population, for that matter, for about 60 years. We're comforted by the fact, since we've discovered this leakage, that the rate of leakage hasn't changed. It's a stable situation. We've taken steps to reduce risk on the tunnel by reducing flow going through the tunnel when we can, to reduce pressure and leakage coming out of it. We're continuing to take steps to make sure that the tunnel remains in safe condition and is reliable. We are looking and planning for repair of the tunnel, but the Delaware system typically supplies about 50% of the city's water. So to do a repair would most likely require having an outage of the tunnel for a period of time, and we're developing plans to be able to deliver water to the people of New York for a repair of the tunnel.
Can the rest of the system handle it? I mean, if you had to shut down the Delaware system, can the rest of it handle it?
If we had to shut down the Delaware system, could the rest of the system have? I mean, there's periods of time that we could shut down the Delaware and we could rely on the other systems and safely and reliably deliver water for the people of the city of New York. What we need to do now is to develop a plan to enable us to take down the tunnel for a long enough period for us to do repairs. And we don't know what that period is right now. Back in 2003, we sent an autonomous underwater vehicle through the tunnel that took thousands of pictures, visible sonar pictures of the tunnel, to understand what the condition was. And we were comforted by that work, and we found no gaping holes in the tunnel. There were some small cracks, but we're planning to do the repairs is a big effort. We have presently a contract, a more than $200 million contract in place right now, where we're working on to prepare for the eventual repair, and also to prep in case something does happen that's unexpected, that we're able to deal with that as quickly as possible.
But the bottom line is that the repair ultimately is years off, that you're at the stage now where you're just thinking about how to think about repairing it.
I think we're somewhat beyond the stage of just thinking about how to think about doing the repair. We're actually doing concrete steps to prepare us for when we do the repair. There's certain things that we know we would have to do if the tunnel is out of service to do a repair. One of the things we know we have to do is improve our ability to take water out of the tunnel to do a repair. And we're working on a project right now to allow us to improve our ability to take water out of the tunnel to make a fix. So that $200 million plus contract is a real construction job that's going on right now. It has real hardware that's being put in place to allow us for an eventual repair, such as purchasing long lead items that if we had to do a repair, they'd already be on site. But actually, the design of the repair, I mean, we're doing that right now. We know we need certain components to do that, and we're purchasing those up front. But the actual design and the timing and the scope, I mean, we're still working on that.
I have to say, I make this my last question. I find the whole concept of this tunnel incredibly romantic in some ways. It's like it's such an ambitious, it's like a crazily ambitious thing that we built 60-odd years ago. And the thing that I find kind of attractive about it is the fact that it's all underground, that nobody sees it, nobody thinks about it, it's in the background. And I wonder, how do you think about this thing? I mean, this is your bailiwick. This is your territory. Am I crazy to think of it as this sort of like amazing romantic thing that's underground and kind of beautiful in a way?
Well, the Delaware Aqueduct is the world's longest tunnel. You'd look in the Guinness Book of World Records, at least up until a few years ago, you'd actually see a picture of a Jeep in the tunnel from 1957, which was the last time the tunnel was dewatered and inspected. It's an incredible piece of infrastructure, but it's not like a dam. It's not like a highway. It's something you can't see, which is almost a crying shame for the work that we put into it, the value of this asset to the people of the city and state of New York that they own, but they never really see. But they get to appreciate it every day when they turn on their tap and have good, clean water.
Paul, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks.